Well, hello there, St. Andrew's family. Welcome back to another episode of How the Sausage is Made. I'm Pastor Ethan.
And I'm Pastor Matt.
And Pastor Matt, we are back at it again, talking about our sermons, reflecting on what happened last week, and getting ready for next week. Yeah,
that's right. It's such a day in, day out thing, and I guess if that's something that, you know, we kind of try to pull back the curtain a little bit on the sermon writing process, and part of it is a grind. There is a nature to you get done writing a sermon, you're already kind of automatically thinking about the next one.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. I guess we could talk about that a little bit. Just the consistency of it, and you kind of do get into a rhythm, which is kind of good. You kind of get your process down, where you want to be, while you're preparing, who you want to be talking to, all that stuff. And at least for me, like, this has kind of become a part of it. Like,
yeah, sure, absolutely.
We'll get to what I'm prepping for this coming weekend, but it's kind of nice to just take this time and talk through some stuff and get some ideas, kind of in concrete some ideas, you know, and
and just the process of talking through things out loud with somebody else, it actually helps a lot. And I think whether you're writing a sermon or just studying scripture, it really was something meant to be done in community and connection to other people.
So much.
And I've found too, there's been weeks when we're doing this. And maybe I don't have all that solid of an idea we're going to preach about, but then you kind of, as you're talking, and I'm talking with you, and thinking about the people that may be listening, you start coming up with some ideas. So this is just, it's a useful thing for us too.
Right.
The rhythm is interesting, because right now, it's roughly every other week. Every now and then, one of us will preach twice in a row. I think you're going to preach twice in a row coming up here in February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this rhythm and this cycle to it, and when you're by yourself, a solo pastor, I mean, it really is it's daunting, and it is just you get done Sunday and think, oh man, I get to relax, and then Monday morning it's like, hey,
right,
we're get back on the treadmill, and so it was one of the means which you kind of constantly study and are constantly growing.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah,
that just makes me think, you know, we ask for prayer all the time, but just makes me think, like, keeping those solo pastors in prayer, keeping those churches who don't have pastors, who have guys filling in, you know, every week, that sort of thing, keeping our church body in prayer, just in general. That's a good reminder. So,
absolutely.
But just looking back, we just got through celebrating the baptism of Jesus, which was a cool weekend. Got to talk a lot about baptism, and really, really leaning in to the way that baptism kind of is a picture of, or quite literally is, the gospel, and the fact that it's something that happens to us. And you started kind of historically talking about there were ritual washings that ancient Israelites participated in, but it was always words that you said, things that you did. You would wash yourself, and this thing that John was doing was different. It was something that happened to you, and was done for you by somebody else. So, just a cool reminder. I mean, baptism is like we're a very sacramental church body, and we believe that God works through His Word and attaches His Word to physical means and elements. And so, just kind of reflecting back on this past weekend. What did you enjoy the most preaching this weekend? I remember after one of the services, you were just excited about what you were getting to preach about. So what brought you joy this past weekend getting to preach?
Oh, I think it's really just truly that connection with God's grace, and just the baptism is such a clear picture of it. I mean, literally, God does this thing to you through means, right? Through people and through water and all this. But He does these things to you and for you and connects you to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always just fun to celebrate what God has done.
Right.
And what He continues to do. And I don't know. There's so many things you could talk about. The baptism of Jesus. You really can talk about a. You can talk about baptism itself. You can talk about all the things that took place in the Bethany beyond the Jordan. I mean, that's where Joshua gave the command to go take the promised land. That's where Moses gave his final report to the people before he died.
Wow.
I mean, that's where Elijah was taken up in the chariot of fire. You know, you can connect it to so many things, and then of course you could go the direction of just talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to talk about, but I really felt the need to talk about the grace of God and that this foreign alien thing is done to you and for you.
So. And you learned your lesson not to talk about everything, right?
That's right.
Made that very clear. You learned
That's
your
right.
lesson.
It was a terrible sermon, man. I don't know if I have a copy of it still anywhere, but I probably threw it away.
But
it would be interesting to go back and look at it. But yeah,
it was cool to hear about your vicarage, a couple of different parts of your vicarage experience, and one of those being, was it Gladys? Was that her name?
Yeah, Gladys. Yeah.
Just your interaction with her and the things you learned through that, and. Having those experiences where you really encounter someone who doesn't have a regular diet of hearing that grace,
right.
Who doesn't have a regular
right.
diet of being fed, hey, here's what God has done for you and to you, and it's not about anything you've done. You know, like you kind of had a real in-person experience with that, and just. Working to proclaim the truth, working to proclaim the goodness and the grace of God, and having that experience of saying,
yeah.
she heard it, she knew it.
You just got done with your vicarage too, and I think one of the great experiences of being an intern of vicar is, you know, so often in our culture and society we think of, I have to learn these things so I can go and do them.
Right.
But vicarage kind of turns on its head, and someone says, you got to go do these things so you can learn them.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And, you know, yeah. and you are kind of like, you're so wet behind the ears, and you're so full of book knowledge and the that experience. And obviously, it's ongoing. But I remember so many times on vicarage going with, like, talking to someone who was, like, experiencing, like, I don't know, marital troubles, and I was either not married or... 3 months into being married on my vicarage, you know, I got married during my vicarage year. You know, you listen to people, you pray with people, but there were times where someone's sick, someone just got a diagnosis, and if you know them well, there's a point at which I would actually sometimes just say, like, you tell me, what should I know about you right now?
Yeah.
What would be good for me to know about you and your situation, and just that to be open to being taught by people that are going through these things. And it's amazing to me how gracious people are a lot of times when you just open up like that. Hey, tell me, you're experiencing this, and I love you. I'm here with you. I'm praying for you. I can give you some biblical places to go and things like that. But, like, why don't can you tell me what are you struggling with that I wouldn't know that it's hard or those types of things? I remember doing that a lot on vicarage, and man, people were really quick to just share with you, and the fact that you wanted to know, I think, made a big difference. So, yeah,
that's huge. That's an important thing to become aware of quickly is the, you know, asking for help, the importance of experience as part of learning, and that it reminds me of just getting preparing to graduate from the seminary. I remember somebody going through kind of the official language used for a seminary graduate
is the
council that kind of signs off that you're prepared to graduate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's something along the lines of, this person is cleared to like begin the pastoral ministry or something, as in, like, you're ready to start,
right?
You're not finished whenever you graduate.
Yeah. It
was kind of the gist, you are. Right at the beginning of the things you have to learn and the things you will come to know.
Yeah.
And those things will come, you know, by the years and the experience and the people and the just living in the ministry, kind of like what you're talking about. So that's kind of interesting.
And I would ask you, just thinking about that formation experience, I mean, I could ask you about your time here too, but I'll ask you just about your vicarage. And I'm not asking about the style of preaching or things like that. Like, I just, how does your preparation, how does your content, how does the heart of preaching, how did it change for you over Vicarage? From, you can kind of show up day one and you don't really know people. By the end of the year, you know a lot of the people. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you think that impacted your preaching?
Well, yeah, before you even had finished that question, I was thinking of the people, and you kind of put it into the question. Just knowing the people is huge, and that was like the biggest, I think, impact and difference in my preaching from beginning to end of the year, was just my knowledge of and relationships with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it like really started to become really, really fun and special to prepare a sermon, you know, every other week or whatever. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. Is now I've been here six good months, and
yeah,
now I'm really starting to feel like I know the people here a lot better, and mm-hmm. getting comfortable and settled in, and actually having faces. And this is something maybe you guys didn't know about, but whenever we're prepping, mm-hmm. a lot of times, like, some of your faces will be in our minds for sure, and your situations, yeah. and we're thinking about you guys, and knowing you definitely impacts and shapes the kinds of things that are in my mind, and the kind of preacher that I'm developing into, I guess.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I would even say, you know, like this weekend, you know, I preached three different times, and none of the sermons was exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things I added because of people I saw sitting in the congregation, and I knew, maybe if I say this, I need to clarify something, because this person may struggle with that. I know what this person's gone through, so I need you to know this part of God's grace.
Right.
And it's just... that's the difference between guest preaching somewhere, and you get to preach a great, fun sermon somewhere because you get to use all your best stuff and it's easy. But you know, the it's more of an art and just more heart to it when you're preaching to your own congregation, the people that God, the people God called you through. You know, called the congregation,
right.
Called you to
be here.
Yeah,
that's huge.
And
yeah.
So that's kind of where it's really at. And I think a lot of the stuff we do tries to focus on the people at St. Andrews. Even this recording is, I mean, anybody can listen to it. We're glad if you're not part of St. Andrews, listen to it. Great. We're glad you are. But we don't market this anywhere other than just our church.
Because right.
It's for our people. It's for the people that we serve. So,
do you think if we did start marketing, we could go global? We could really explode this thing?
I think we would have dozens of listeners.
Hey, high goals, man. Let's go for it. But yeah, kind of what we're talking about is making me think about my prep right now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's,
tell us about what you're working on. I think you have some really cool, a really cool gospel reading.
Yeah. So I guess we'll be reading from the Gospel of John, which John's always just great to read from, first chapter. Kind of that transition moment right after Jesus is baptized, and John is kind of an interesting spot where John kind of takes the back seat. Like, John has been like the guy, right? And he sees Jesus as, this is the Lamb of God, and he knows this is the guy who he's been preparing the way for. And so he has his followers, he has his disciples, and he says, hey, that's the Lamb of God. And so we see a handful of his disciples leave and go follow Jesus and spend a day with him, and one of them ends up being Andrew.
Andrew. We've heard about Andrew.
Right? So we'll have some fun with that a little bit. I kind of want to preach from the perspective of St. Andrew. And just kind of get into his mind a little bit and ponder what it would have been like for him to be a follower of John and now seeing, here's Jesus, and things are a lot different than they were with John. I still have a lot of questions. I'm still so, you know, unsure of a lot of things, but yet here you are. Here's the one I've been waiting for. So I think it'll be fun to kind of step into Andrew's shoes and see where that takes us. But the reason I brought up how our previous conversation was making me think of this is because Andrew and John, actually, in our reading, we'll see that there's a lot of, for lack of a better word, like mystery, or there's, although like things are being revealed, there's still a lot that we don't know know, and there's just questions, and there's just unanswered questions. And some of my conversations just this past week with a few people, a couple people in the youth group, actually, kind of people asking questions and people experiencing doubt even. And people just having uncertainty about, you know, some big things, like some of the most fundamental things about our faith, and asking hard questions. And I want to kind of create a space where we can just address that those questions exist, those questions are real, and and what do we do with those questions? And going from the perspective of Andrew will give us a little insight into someone's experience of having questions, having uncertainty, but encountering Jesus and the impact that has.
Yeah, but and we don't do anybody any favors if we don't ever talk about doubts and don't ever talk about the challenges that arise in the Christian faith.
Yeah,
you know, I think back to when I first got married. You know, kind of young and idealistic, and I had several people who I love and care about in my life who've been married for a long time say, "Hey, just so you know, like, you're going to have some fights. The first couple years of marriage will be, if you have to figure out a lot of stuff, that might be kind of hard."
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that, because when the hard times came up or the disagreements came up, I didn't feel like, what's wrong with me or what's wrong with us or are we doomed? It was like, oh no, we're going through what's a pretty typical thing, and we have to figure this out. We got to work at this. But it wasn't a freak out moment. It was a, okay, here we are moment. And I think when we talk about people having doubts and struggles and the mystery and struggling with things, it's a great help to people to hear that.
You know? Yeah, that's so true. And it's something that has kind of been in my mind ever since having a class with the great Peter Navsger.
Yes.
It was actually a class about confirmation, but we looked at some church statistics, this research that a man last named Kinneman,
I
can't remember his first name, Kinneman, he wrote a book including a lot of just observations and research and stats on church stuff, and one of them is that people kind of have a perspective of the church where it's not a place where we can freely and like a safe place to bring our doubts. And and ever since then, it's just made me think, like, man, this is like the main place we should come with our doubts. This is the main place we should come whenever we're feeling unsure.
Right.
And that's exactly what we see in the gospel reading. Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. Bring your questions and uncertainty and come with me and see.
I love that. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such an important message, in the fact that it's in the inner circle. It's John the Baptist, it's Andrew, it's Jesus himself. It's just such a cool thing. And I don't know, I bet there'll be a lot of people who are surprised to learn that Andrew was first a disciple of John the Baptist. You know, that's going to be eye-opening. And, and then John the Baptist had his struggles with doubts. And, are you the one who's come, or should we expect somebody else? And I don't know. Well, I pray your blessing on that as you prepare, but I love the direction you're going with that, because like the baptism of Jesus, that your readings, and I think you'll hear this when you hear it read on Sunday, if you're you know, kind of have the lectionary, the thing you'll realize too, I think for you listeners, is that there's a million different directions Pastor Luff could have gone on this
really?
Too. You know, and it's just So I love that you're, it's Tuesday and you're zeroed in, and man, let it rip, you know?
Yeah. Be awesome. Like you said, we'll take some prayer about it, and just hopefully, as I, you know, get into character, right? I got to get into the mind of Andrew and see where that takes me.
Well, I think you go to Jewel and get some cans of sardines and rub them all over yourself. You know, like a fisherman, get that smell going.
There we go. Yeah,
I'm sure Ren will appreciate that.
Spend some time out on a boat or something
exactly,
this week.
Exactly. get method acting really quick.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, well, man. Well, speaking of prayer, let's do that. Let's
please,
do that.
Please.
Lord God, I thank you for Pastor Ethan. I thank you for just his love of Scripture and his love of the people he's serving, and his love of you, that he loves you so much, and because you love him so much. Bless him as he dives deeper and deeper into this passage, and bless him as he endeavors not just to dive into that passage alone, but dives to take us into this passage in depth with him. And as we get into the depths of these waters, Lord, just like if you're diving, you see wonderful things. Help us to get into the depths of these words and see wonderful things and the wonder of your teachings and the wonder of your grace, but also the wonder of a grace that comes to us when sometimes we don't see things so clearly or when the waters are muddy, to know that we're still there with you. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Take care, St. Andrews.
See you guys.